Ladies and gentlemen, I would suggest that we start. Although our last speaker is not here yet, but I was told that he is on his way from the airport to this academy building because the flights are so delayed today that he will probably arrive at the time when he is at your scheduled. It is really a pleasure for me to welcome you to our workshop on emerging and re-emerging infections, and I'm grateful to our speakers, to Professors Kaufmann, Klenk, Kreuzlich, and Zipfel for accepting the task to present their views on emerging infection in a special field of microbiology. In 1967, the US Surgeon General William Stuart made the following remarks, and I quote, that given advances in antibiotics and vaccine, it was time to close the book on infectious diseases to free resources to focus more on chronic illnesses. As we all know, this was wishful thinking, and the fallacy of such misplaced optimism was amply illustrated in the last 40 years. Old, well-known pathogens such as antibiotic-resistant bacteria, for example, Staphylococci, various mycobacteria, or Escherichia coli came back, and new plagues were discovered such as HIV-AIDS, SARS, Nipah viruses, influenza viruses, or, for example, bovine spongiform encephalopathy. Perhaps more intriguing than these discoveries has been the recognition that the notion of infectious diseases as always being acute is too narrow. Microbes have been linked to a wide range of chronic illnesses, including ulcer, cancer, cardiovascular disease, or mental illnesses. Such, rather than closing the book on infectious diseases, new chapters are being written. The introduction of cultivation-independent methods for microbial discovery has dramatically altered our view on the breadth and diversity of the microbial world. One example is the extent to which humans represent microbial agents. Whereas the number of cells of a human body has been estimated to be approximately 10 to the 14, our bacterial passengers on internal or external surfaces number at least 10 to the 15. Furthermore, up to 10% of our genome comprises retroviral sequences, and gene analysis of different organs indicate differences in human bacterial microflora by anatomical location and area of residence. These analyses have also revealed that bacterial composition is dynamic. It varies over time and can be modified as a function of diet, antibiotics, hygiene, or even also by surgical intervention. Our mouse alone has been shown to have more than 600 species of bacteria. Viruses do not comprise regions of sequence conservation that enable surveillance and discovery by methods used for the detection of bacteria. Thus, studies of biodiversity have come into their own, only more recently with the introduction of high-throughput sequencing. However, even here we are limited by our capacity to recognize similarities between what we observed, for example, and what is present in our database. We have only begun to scratch the surface of virus discovery. The number of vertebrate species is estimated to be more than 50,000. If each of these species alone are associated with only one or two endemic viruses, the vertebrate virome would exceed about 100,000. Recently, viruses have been found in concentration as high as 10 to the 10 particles per 100 ml in superficial coastal waters and are estimated to comprise about 1 to 10% of the total prokaryotic biomass. Whether these new detected viruses pose a threat to animals or maybe also to human health is unknown. Nevertheless, the sheer mass and diversity are staggering, and it is unknown to what extent this pool serves as a potential reservoir for the emergence of novel pathogens. In our workshop today, we have picked four examples of pathogens which do show the evolutionary amazing potential to adapt to the surrounding environment. And I would like now to open the workshop and ask Stefan Kaufmann to present his paper on tuberculosis.